7654321.
Hey guys, this is Liz Cambage.
This is Nikki Collin.
What up, guys? This is Ethan Starkey.
Hey, this is Imani Midi Stafford.
Hey, this is Jordan Canada.
This is Asia Wilson.
Welcome to the WNBA Nation.
What's up, WNBA Nation? So excited to talk with all of you tonight. My name is Kyle Haywood, and I am really, really stoked to be on the show tonight. I'm running a solo show again. Usually this means that it's kind of a special type episode where I will break down the current, WNBA draft prospects and whatnot. But tonight is actually just one of our normal episodes, and we had several things coming up. Jason was busy tonight. He wasn't actually scheduled. It was going to be Steve and I, which he and I haven't done an episode together in a while. But it's going to be Steve and I. Steve had some family things come up that were definitely should take a priority. So he's making sure that that's all taken care of. I'm sure you guys have, if you've listened to the show long enough, you kind of understand this by now. We absolutely love the WNBA. We absolutely love doing this show. It's a huge part of our lives and consumes way too much of our minds and our time. That being said, we all have families, and those families always come first. So, so Steve wasn't able to hop on. That's totally cool. And it's actually Logan's birthday today. So if you guys want to hit him up, it's at Logan TJ on Twitter. Hit him up. You'll probably get this tomorrow, which will be the 25th, which means that it'll be the day after his birthday. Still hit him up and wish him a happy birthday. He's a great part of the show. He's a great friend of mine. And he's actually, he lives in the apartment in the bottom of my house. So, yeah, so we actually share a house together, which is cool. Hit him up. Wish him a happy birthday. And so that means it is left to me, and I apologize if I happen to be your least favorite of the four hosts. I understand that, because the other three are extremely talented. That being said, I hope that I can keep you somewhat entertained tonight and be able to discuss some of this exciting news that's coming out in free agency with coaching hires and rumors and potential meetings between players and teams and Lauren Jackson news, ? We're going to hit all of that and more in this episode. But first, I just want to give a shout out to everybody hanging out with us on Twitch. We got a pretty big group over here tonight, which I'm pretty stoked about. Some of our regulars, we got Jay Lucchetti and Smunny and Jackie Cherry. Some people that we've seen for quite a while. We even have some people chiming in the chat from Trinidad. That Trinidad and Tobago, or Tobago. I never know how to say that. Trinidad and Tobago? We'll see. I don't know. Correct me. Hit me up on Twitter. Correct me. Make me smarter. I'm sorry. But either way, yeah, we've got some international peeps hanging out in the chat tonight. If you haven't checked us out on Twitch, come over. It's easy. It's super fun, and it's not like a commitment. Just download the app or check it out online if you're at your computer. twitch.tv/WNBA Nation. You can hang out. You can if you follow us, you'll just get a notification anytime we go live, which is about twice a week. So it's not like we're spamming your notifications. And if you get that notification, come hang out for a little bit. Watch the episode as we record it. And we have a lot of times we talk, before we record and after we record. And sometimes that has nothing even to do with basketball. And we just kind of hang out and talk about whatever is on our minds with our Twitch family here. So thanks for everybody who's tuning in on chat or on Twitch here in the chat with me. I appreciate that. The best way to contact us and the best way to interact with us is on Twitter at WNBA Nation Pod. If you want to DM us or you want to tweet us, that's probably the best way to do so. A couple shout-outs I got to give. Salumi Ray, EA Sports 83, and Michael Smith, Michael M. Smith 7. All thank you for the follows here on chat. Y'all are just giving us the love as we get rolling here. So appreciate you guys hanging out. We've got news. We've got news, ladies and gents. Finally, it seems like we've got some free agency stuff to talk about. It was so quiet, not only in the free agency realm, but in the Phoenix head coaching realm as well, So let's start with that. It's official, and it's been all but official for, you know, a day or two here. Vanessa Nygaard is officially the new head coach of the Phoenix Mercury. And what a ride that was. What an interesting path that we took to getting a head coach in Phoenix. Started out with, you know, basically just really quiet on all fronts. Sandy Brondello, obviously, parting ways with the organization. Not sure how mutual that was, but Sandy Brondello obviously moving on to New York and seems really excited about the prospects of what's happening there. And I don't blame her. I think they're putting together an incredible roster, and we've got a long ways to go in free agency. I don't think they're done yet. So we'll see what happens there in New York. But then Phoenix seemed to just not really do anything. And we heard some names being thrown around, and Vanessa Nygaard was one of those names. But I think the name that a lot of people were talking about was Teresa Witherspoon, assistant coach of the New Orleans Pelicans, and, you know, a great basketball coach. And I think that that's who the Mercury really had in sight. But it seems like just they couldn't get it done deal-wise, couldn't make the money work right, or, you know, whatever goes on behind the scenes there. This is my personal take on this. So this isn't gospel. This isn't I'm not spitting all the facts here. I'm just giving you what it seemed like to me and how this story kind of appeared to myself. And we would even have chats like this in our group chat as hosts. So Teaspoon was my first choice. I think that she made a lot of sense in Phoenix. I think it would be great to for her to be there. However, that didn't happen. But Vanessa Nygaard is far from a bad hire. Far from a bad hire. Vanessa Nygaard's a former WNBA player, which is always good. You know, she was she started playing back in 1998, I want to say. I should pull up like the I should probably pull up like the press release here and actually see what's going on. Yeah, she was drafted by New York back in 1998. Played for a few different teams. Played for Portland, Miami, Cleveland, Charlotte, and LA. And even signed a little contract with the Houston Comets, but ended up being waived. Really solid player, played back at Stanford, I believe, for Tara Vanderveer, so back in her days there at Stanford. So pretty exciting. I think that, you know, obviously she's coming off of a WNBA season where she was playing an assistant coach role in Las Vegas with Bill Laimbeer. Bill Laimbeer no longer being the head coach there, so with Las Vegas as a having a new head coach and Phoenix having a new head coach, it'll be interesting to see how those two teams, who for all intents and purposes were both big time title contenders last year, we'll see how new coaches affect the upcoming season for them. But I want to read just a couple little snippets of the actual like press release announcement from the Phoenix Mercury website here. So it says the 3-time WNBA champion Phoenix Mercury today named Vanessa Nygaard the 10th head coach in franchise history. Nygaard, born in Scottsdale, Arizona, has nearly two decades of coaching experience at the high school, college, WNBA, and international level, following a 6-year playing career in the WNBA and standout run at Stanford. Side note for everybody here, I believe this makes, off the top of my head, I believe this is 7 of the 12 current head coaches that are former WNBA players. I may need to fact check that, but it's something along those lines. If we are at half or better of the coaches that are former players, I think that's pretty exciting and says a lot about, you know, potentially where this league is moving. And I'm excited about that. I think that's pretty sweet. Let's see. So Nygaard, yes, did play for Stanford, did play for Coach Tara Vanderveer, and went to 3 different Final Fours in her span there at Stanford. So that's pretty sweet. Let's see. led by a 2021 Olympic gold medal winning trio of Diana Taurasi, Brittany Griner, and Skylar Diggins-Smith. Coming off the club's fifth WNBA Finals appearance, the three-time WNBA champion Phoenix Mercury returned to the Footprint Center this summer. So that's what's interesting about this whole situation. And I think that a lot of Mercury fans have to have a lot of, like, maybe some question marks going on in their heads. They thought, you know, here we are. We make a run to the finals. And what it seems is that it seems as though Sandy Brondello was kind of like, they said mutually parted ways. It seems, though, from what I can tell, that she was kind of, it was a little bit more on Phoenix's side to make this decision to move forward from Sandy Brondello, which I don't get. If you've got a coach that just took you to the finals, again, that could be totally wrong. If someone in Phoenix wants to correct us on that, come hop on the show. We'd love to hear your side of the story. But it seems, though, as that's the case, and maybe that's because they potentially heard they were in the running for, a Becky Hammon or a Teresa Witherspoon. And if that's the case, I don't see why you don't take that shot. Vanessa Nygaard, I don't think is a flashy hire, but I do think that she's going to be, I think she deserves her shot. I think she's got a lot of experience. And we'll see what she's able to do with a pretty loaded roster there in Phoenix. So excited to see what comes of that. Excited for Vanessa Nygaard and the future of the Mighty Mercury. If anybody in the Mercury front office happens to be listening, we'd love to have Coach Nygaard on the show, be able to talk with her about the, basically what the plan is for the Mercury moving forward and what this hire means, for Coach Nygaard. So let us know. We'd be happy to check that out. All right. We have a little bit of free agency. Free agency news coming through. Let's just start with, I think, what maybe is the big obvious one that's kind of the big news. Jonquel Jones is a free agent this year, and it seems as though she will be staying in Connecticut. From all the smoke that we're seeing right now is suggesting that is going to be the case. She'll stay in Connecticut, which makes a lot of sense. I think it makes a lot of sense for her. It makes a lot of sense for the Sun. And I really do think that, when you're the reigning MVP, you can kind of name your price. And people, because Chicago ended up being the story, people don't understand how insanely good the Connecticut Sun were this year. And on paper, it looks like they might be the team to beat in 2022. So consider this. Jonquel Jones staying in Connecticut. It seems as though they're going to have a shot to have Alyssa Thomas return to, and have her health back returning from injury. And they went 26-6, had the number one seed overall, had an insane winning streak in 2021, all without perennial all-star Alyssa Thomas. Not only is Jonquel staying in Connecticut, but it looks like Courtney Williams is going to be making her return to the Sun as well, which kind of is its own story in and of itself. So that's all to say that I think Connecticut has a really, really strong chance to come in and make a lot of noise and might just be a potential favorite for running the title or for snagging their very first title in franchise history. So
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Let's talk about Courtney Williams, though. Let's talk about, because I'm really intrigued to see how her free agency has been. Obviously, a lot of news, coming through with some locker room issues in the Atlanta Dream as a whole, whether it was Kennedy Carter or Courtney Williams anybody else on this team. There were some locker room issues, and then obviously Courtney Williams with the video that came out, you know, outside, I think it was technically like a food truck or, you know, some sort of little, like a food trailer, and the fight that broke out outside of that, and, you know, ensuing news headlines that came with that. Atlanta openly stating and claiming Courtney Williams will not be returning to Atlanta. So then she's really on the market, and it comes down to what teams have a need at that position and also want to bring in someone who was just, you know, that's the subject of those types of headlines. Courtney Williams is an incredible basketball player, no matter how you spin, you know, the off the court things that have been happening. But, you know, I think that she's one of the more talented players in the entire league. Connecticut is where she played before Atlanta, and she has an opportunity to go back there now to a team that already understands her personality, that had a lot of success with her on the court. And I'm excited to see, you know, how this move goes for Connecticut, because this really shores up that point guard role that Natisha Heidemann's been playing. And Heidemann, again, not a bad player, but probably the weak link on the floor as far as a starting five go for the Connecticut Sun. Now you got Courtney Williams returning and shoring up, strengthening that point guard position big time here. Again, Connecticut brought back the MVP, and it looks like they're upgrading at their weakest position. So Connecticut might be an insanely scary team to play against next year. So, or this coming summer, I should say, not next year, this coming season. A couple other side stories here with free agency. It looks as though Raquana Williams will be staying in Las Vegas, and Kaia Stokes heading out to Atlanta. Everybody needs to be paying attention to the Atlanta Dream, because the Atlanta Dream really should be making some pretty big moves this offseason. They have the money to do it. It's just going to come down to if they can convince the right players to take that money and move to Atlanta. You know, considering their recent history, you know, not having great records, you know, off the court issues, locker room issues, things like that. Obviously, this is a very proud franchise, a franchise that takes a lot of pride in their community, and not just their community, but the country as a whole, being very open with their political activism, which we are all for here on the show, being able to you know, express you know, their thoughts and going against their actual team owner in a run for a Senate seat. So pretty big stuff there in Atlanta. I think that there's a lot of things that can draw players to Atlanta, but I can also understand, and the reality is that some players may be hesitant to go into that situation that has been a lot of change, a lot of moving parts, and a lot of uncertainty over the last couple seasons. So, sounds like Stokes is going to be heading to Atlanta. That's the rumor, at least. I think she is a pretty solid fit there, and I'm excited to see what she can do. Raquana Williams staying in Las Vegas, obviously a scoring option there in Las Vegas. Always good to have some outside shooting. So now here's what a lot of people have been talking about over the weekend, at least. This is Monday that I'm recording this, the 24th. A lot of people over the weekend hitting up a lot of Bree Stewart speculation, all right? And it got really hot, and then a lot of talk really cooled off. So I'm not sure what to take about that, or what my take is on all of that. But Stewie taking a meeting, flying down to L.A. and taking a meeting with Josiah and you know, other ownership of the New York Liberty. Now, I personally think that it probably makes the most sense for her to stay in Seattle. That being said, I mean, there are connections that Stewie has to New York. She grew up, I believe, in upstate New York. I think around Syracuse that she's from. Also, New York is not that far from Connecticut. And so having an opportunity for her to play close to a very loyal UConn fan base could do well for ticket sales, could do well for her. So it would be a lot closer to home, be a lot closer to, you know, these two places that mean so much to her. But I do think that it would have to be a really good fit, a really good situation, and the right timing for her to leave Seattle. So it remains to be seen if that will be this year. But regardless, the fact that New York was able to land a meeting with Breanna Stewart says a lot. The fact that she was willing to go meet with them, that's big time. So speculation goes, I'm actually going to say it's about a 30% chance that we see Bree Stewart move. And if she moves, I think that New York makes the most sense. If you take a look at the franchises as they stand currently, and just imagine that you had zero connection to either of them, that you were coming in brand new, which of the two franchises would you want to go and be a part of? Would you want to be in Seattle, where you've got Sue Bird on her, you know, seems like going to be her farewell tour, and you know, you've got a pretty solid big three, which you're a part of. Jewel Lloyd is Cord, so looks somewhat likely that she'll at least be staying there in Seattle. Who knows? You know, on the other hand, you've got New York with a really young, talented roster. You've got Betnai Jelani. You've got Sabrina Ionescu. You've got Natasha Howard, who already has played with Stewie back in Seattle. And I think the trajectory of New York is really, really strong. And I think that New York right now looks like they have a better five-year projection than Seattle does. So if the money's equal and you don't care, you know, which place that you play, you've got, you know, your heart is a little bit in both New York and Seattle. You got to look at team composition. You got to look at, you know, the potential opportunity to coach or to play under coach Sandy Brondello. I think that it is a non-zero percent chance that she goes there. So that's my two cents on that. Got a question in the chat coming in. I'm so glad that this question was asked, because as I was listening to the last couple episodes with, you know, Steve and Logan and Jason and everything, I wanted to like give my take on this. So I finally have an opportunity to just give my own personal views on Angel McCautry and her potential return to Atlanta. I think there's some real backing to this story. Again, Atlanta has a ton of cap space to work with. They can sign like four max contracts if they really want to. All right. They've got a ton of cap space. Obviously, they didn't bring back Courtney Williams. Tiffany Hayes looks like she's going to be sticking around. I don't think she's going to get a max contract because she's getting, you know, closer probably to retirement. Has been a little bit injury prone. So I don't know if Hayes is going to pull a max contract. And if so, they still have a lot of money to work with. Angel McCautry makes a ton of sense. I don't think it's ridiculous to think a player goes back to that team. And that's my thoughts. I do think that McCautry could easily go back. The other element to this is that it seems as though Kennedy Carter is going to be a big part of the Atlanta Dream moving forward. And who has been her mentor lately? Just check Twitter, check Instagram. Angel McCautry has been working out a lot with Kennedy Carter and kind of mentoring her, and perhaps looks at this opportunity of, well, I've got two ways to leave a legacy here. Do I want to go get a championship ring, or do I want to go in and mentor this next gen of players? And if she wants a championship, I think Las Vegas or some of these other teams make a lot more sense. That being said, Atlanta, to go back to where she has a lot of history. It's a fan base that she absolutely adores and that she absolutely loves. She's got a relationship with Renee Montgomery as a former teammate, and you know, with Montgomery being the current owner. I think it's a great opportunity for McCautry to potentially go back to Atlanta. In fact, I would maybe lean to say that it's more likely than her staying in Las Vegas. Now, I could be crazy. Some of you are going to think I'm nuts for saying that, but I truly do believe that that might be the case. All right. Couple takes here. Michael M. Smith 7 also has a take here. I want to read this. It says Angel to Atlanta would be good for Atlanta, but Angel wants a ring again. Yeah, true. I mentioned that, but we'll see. There's other ways to leave a legacy. Her better chances to stay in Vegas. Absolutely. As an Aces fan, I'd really want Angel and Kaya to stay in Vegas. But I'd like to let Liz go and pick up Rebecca Allen. There's also footage of Twitter of Angel working out with Kelsey Plum and De'Arica Hambly. Agreed. Totally agreed, Michael M. Smith. There is footage of her working with Kelsey Plum and De'Arica Hambly. She's currently teammates with those players. I think it might say, I think that if you're working out with players from other teams, that always catches attention a little bit more, especially she's actually gone to bat for against some of the critics of Kennedy Carter. And saying, listen, we all make mistakes when we're younger, and we all have an opportunity to grow and mature, and kind of asking people to give Kennedy a second chance. And, you know, maybe Kennedy's learned a lot over the last half of last season, you know, where she sat out basically the rest of the year and wasn't put back into the rotation or really much a part of the Atlanta Dream team there. So we'll see. We'll see. I do think that there's a decent chance that McCutry goes back to Atlanta. I would not be surprised if she stayed in Vegas, though. So I will say that. All right, guys. The last topic I want to hit tonight is that Lauren Jackson might be returning to basketball. Excuse me? Lauren Jackson. Obviously, Australian basketball has a big, long history. It's a very proud history that they have. Jackson didn't have an opportunity to participate in the 2016 Olympics. She had an injury. I believe it was her ACL that kept her out of that and basically had to have an early retirement there. But has gone through, had a lot of pain management that she's had to overcome, different things like that. I don't think it looks like Liz Cambage is going to be a part of the Opals right now, but I think that, maybe Lauren Jackson just has the right timing and the right opportunity. If she is in basketball condition, bring her back. I would be so excited. Because Lauren Jackson kind of was out of the NBA, out of the WNBA before our show really started. And so I feel like she's one player we would love to have an opportunity to see play again. So here we go. Bring her back. Lauren, if you can get to, if you can get in basketball shape and you're ready to go, I want to see it. I want to see it. I think it'd be a blast to watch her represent Australia one last time. All right, let me just check Twitch to see if there's any other questions before we head out. Yes, money, another good question. Diamond to Shield, Chicago breakup. I think so. I think that it's more likely that she leaves than she stays. And I think that it's actually a good thing for both organizations. I think Diamond to Shields has had a little bit of a regression in her performance, but I also think that has to do with a team chemistry, team makeup, and with the slight regression she started to lose a lot of playing time to make way for some up and comers like, you know, Kalia Copper, Candace Parker returning, things like that. Just it didn't hold up, and Chicago, you know, at least last year still had Vandersloot, Quigley, you know, filling those guard positions, Copper, Parker, you know, like they had a lot there. But I do think that DeShields would, again, be another great fit in somewhere like Atlanta, that has a lot of cap space. So I think that's kind of where I'm at with that. I think that DeShields likely could go make more money than Chicago would be willing to pay for, because I think a couple of teams have the money to spend and, you know, could look at her as a solid fit there. Obviously, we know the potential's there with her second season in the WNBA being an all-star and obviously. I think that All-Star game, that first All-Star game there in Las Vegas that weekend, I don't know if there was anybody that increased their value in everybody's eyes as Diamond to Shields. Now, after that, there was a regression that took place and didn't really stay where she wanted to be. But again, that could be team fit, could be the role she was asked to play. Maybe a fresh start's exactly what she needs, but I do know that the talent's there for DeShields, and we'll see what ends up happening there. All right, one last thing I want to hit, and I know I said that about Lauren Jackson. I lied. I apologize. There's a couple more minutes here on the show. I want to add in here. All right, January 26th, tomorrow, the inaugural season kicks off for Athletes Unlimited. All right. If you want to check that out, by all means, do. The official team rosters have been announced. Team Mitchell has, you know, some names on there that I think a lot of you are going to recognize. Imani McGee Stafford, Sydney Colson, Courtney Williams, Tiana Hawkins. There's some big-time names on there for Team Mitchell. Team Russell, this is Mercedes Russell. She's got Lexi Brown, Mercedes Russell, Chelsea Phillips, Daniel McCray, Taj Cole. There's some good names on there. I'm excited to see what Team Russell does. Team Sims, yes, that's Odyssey Sims. Pulling in Essence Carson, Kiki Harrigan, Kalani Brown. That's a solid roster right there. By the way, if any of you are playing NBA 2K22, Kalani Brown is a cheat code in that game, and I can't explain why, but man, every time I play with Kalani Brown, I just absolutely slaughter the other team. She's just money. And last but not least, Dejanay Carrington was the fourth and final captain for this initial week. Has Ty Young, Isabel Harrison, Jantel Lavender, Natasha Cloud, and Destiny Walker. Some really solid players here, so you want to check those out. Go ahead and hang out. Watch Athletes Unlimited. Should be fun. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I really like the makeup of Team Sims and Team Kerrigan both. I think those could be a lot of fun. I'm excited to see Imani McGee Stafford back. As you guys listen to the intro of the show, obviously she was a great interview that we had early on in the show, and so we keep her, even though she hasn't been in the league for a couple seasons, we keep her intro as part of what we do because we're big fans of Imani McGee Stafford. So check that out. Again, January 26th. Las Vegas is where it's taking place, and make sure you're watching that anywhere that can be found. We'll be tweeting out links to that as you check out our Twitter at WNBA Nation Pod. All right, everybody, that's about all the time I've got for you tonight. Thank you for listening in. If you happen to be listening on Apple Podcasts, take 10 seconds of your time to further the cause of women's basketball and the WNBA by leaving us a quick 5-star review. You're already on this page. Scroll down right now. Click it with your thumb or your index finger. I don't care. Hit that 5-star review. And if you want to type out a 5-star review, go for it. All right. We will read any of those out loud on mic. Each episode that we get one, we haven't had one for the last couple episodes. So where are you guys at? I want to read one. So hit us up there. Thank you all for hanging out with us tonight, hanging out with me tonight, and all of you on Twitch. I've got some other questions here that we'll have to address off mic. Not off mic, but after the episode wraps up. So thanks again for listening. For WNBA Nation, I'm Kyle Haywood. And we got you next time.